morning to you all, and we welcome back several of you from travels over the Christmas holidays. We want to remember those that are still on their way back. The Lord would watch over and protect them. In our call to worship today, I'm in the book of Philemon. We're continuing our studies today in the morning worship service. But I want to read to you verse 4, where it says in that verse of Scripture, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. One of the things that moved the Apostle Paul was his desire to thank God for believers in Christ. In this new year, I think it's important for us to keep in mind that when we go to the Lord in prayer, we not only profess our love to Him and our desire to acknowledge His power and His greatness and His glory and His goodness and all the things that make God who He is, but also to come into His presence with a thankful spirit and to thank God for fellow believers. I don't know how good we are at doing that. I think sometimes we just go with our prayer request that we have at the moment, and that's all we do and that's all we say, but I think we need to broaden our horizon in our prayers. We're going to deal a little bit more with that tonight in the evening service. But this verse of Scripture, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Philemon was on Paul's prayer list. I don't know how many others were on his prayer list, but he began with a thankful spirit for a fellow brother in Christ who was an encouragement to other believers. He says, I hear of your love and I hear of your faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus Christ and to all the saints that are there with you at Colossae. A thankful spirit for other brothers and sisters in Christ will help us to know how to deal with other brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're not just thankful for those that we like. Oh, how Lord deliver us from that. We'll pray for those that we like, and we don't pray for those that we dislike. How selfish can you be? And how short-sighted. We need to be thankful for all believers that are honoring the Lord, that are serving the Lord. We just need to thank God for them. And our attitudes will change toward them whenever we have that kind of spirit. I'm so thankful this morning as we continue our study in the book of Philemon for the Apostle Paul. He was truly a great man, but he was great because he had a great God. He knew that Christ was his intercessor. He knew that Christ and the Holy Spirit were taking before God the Father the needs of Paul and the life of Paul. And he said, it's only right that we pray for other brothers and sisters the same way that Christ prays for us. And so I want to encourage you in this new year. I'm not asking you to make a New Year's resolution because, as we talked about in Sunday school, they don't go very far. But I just ask you to seek God to help you, to remind you that when you go to prayer, not only do we thank God for Him and profess our love to Him, which we should do every time we enter into His presence, into his courts with what? Praise. Praise of whom? Praise of God. Enter His courts with praise and adoration. But understand and know that we also want to thank God for other fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and be thankful on a legitimate, genuine level that they are there to encourage us as well.
Go to number 240. Number 240. Let's sing the first and third verses of Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. As we think about the new year and ask for the Lord's blessing and direction, verses 1 and 3, number 240, let's stand together to sing.
Guide me, O the great Jehovah, Pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty.
Bread of heaven, feed me too.
continue as Brother Steve leads us in prayer this morning.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you in King Jesus of Nazareth's mighty name that we can come to your house and worship you today. Now we think of Mike and Sharon and what they're going through. But you're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Nothing is impossible with you. So we pray for his healing. Let him walk out of that hospice healed to our testimony to the goodness and grace and love and mercy and kindness and compassion that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob offers all of us. And we know you can do it, but your will has to come first. And we pray that you will comfort the entire family, give them strength, give them wisdom and understanding, encourage to face this difficult situation. Because one day, we all may be in that situation, and we will pray for your help and guidance. And we thank you that we can worship you, and that you're alive, and that you're a covenant God. You keep your words and promises. And we pray tonight for the leaders of this country. We're in a terrible shape, sir. And we need your help and blessing, because that's the only way this country is going to get straightened out. If we all fall on our knees and beg the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to heal our country, and to heal us. And we pray today for the nation of Israel and for the Jewish people, sir, everywhere. The peace of Jerusalem. They are your children. And we pray for the IDF and their families. They are struggling. The suicide rate is becoming alarming for reservists. And so we pray for them. We pray for our American military in the Middle East, as they are in a very difficult situation. And we pray for help and guidance. We've already seen that friendly fire has shot down our own aircraft. Well, we pray diligently for our American service people in the Middle East and around the world. We pray for the people of New Orleans, for what has happened there. And we pray that for these coming storms, you're in control, you're in command and charge and authority over all. So we pray for your protection and help and deliverance from these storms. And we pray today for the worship service, that you will give Pastor Todd the wisdom of Solomon and the boldness of Saint Paul to deliver this sermon to us. And we'll take it to heart and apply it to our lives. Thank you, Father, King Jesus of Nazareth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You be seated and turn over now to 378 as we continue to sing of the care of the Lord, his protection of us under his wings. Number 378, we'll sing all three verses, 378.
Thank you.
Welcome each and every one of you to Grace Bible Church today, and I have asked Asa Gerritsen to come and just share a word of testimony about the possibility of a missions trip this summer. He's going to be headed back soon to college, and we want to pray for him as he goes back to get back under the grindstone, right? And so, Asa, would you come and share what the Lord may have for you to do this summer?
Thank you, Pastor. For some of you who may not know me as well, my name is Asa Gerritsen. I'm a sophomore pastoral major at Ambassador Baptist College. And I kind of wanted to give a little bit of a testimony about how I got to that point. I remember out of high school, I really didn't know where to go. And so God kind of worked it out for me to be able to go to Ambassador Baptist College. I started off as a one-year Bible, and then kind of towards the end of my first school year, God's really started working on my heart, and through the Bible conference there, he really made it clear to me that he wanted me to switch my major to a pastoral major, and he called me to preach. And I really didn't like that at all, because I really didn't think I was good enough. And by the way, I still don't. You know, it's by the grace of God, and he gives you the enablement and gives you a desire to do his will. But so that's where I am today. Finishing my about halfway through my sophomore year, really enjoying it, and I'm really blessed to have really good friends there. And so I got to be able to work a little bit with Brother Dwight Smith. He's an evangelist. He's done it for many years, and there was a couple weeks this last semester where Brother Nate Beam at a church in Fountain Inn, South Carolina, invited Brother Dwight Smith to come and kind of host a little bit of a soccer camp. And it was only for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, but I got to be able to go with him. We had about 42 kids that came, and out of those 42, 10 trusted Jesus as their Savior. And it was just a really good opportunity to be able to use sports in a way that, you know, attracts a lot of kids in, but just to be able to give them the gospel. And so that's kind of what we're going to be doing in Brazil a little bit. It's a little different. So Brother Dwight has taken a couple trips to St. Kitts a couple years ago. And they usually take some soccer players, and they about probably the ages from 15 to 17 or older. And they play some local club teams and stuff like that. And then they just go out in the community witnessing and passing out, you know, balls and soccer balls and cleats and different stuff like that, because some of these places in the place we're going in Brazil, they're not, you know, they can't really afford that type of thing. And so, Lord willing, this summer, I'll be able to go with them to, I'm not sure what the city is called, but it's north of Brazil, and it's Brother Jed Duarte. And Brother Dwight asked me if I would go, and I said, of course, yes. And I'm just looking forward to be able to spread the gospel in a unique way. I know here at Grace, we have our YAC ministry, and it's a really good ministry to just get kids from the community and get them exposed to the gospel a little bit. And sports is just a really good way of doing that. Gets people that normally wouldn't come to something like that to get out and play a sport, but then hear the gospel as well. I talked to Brother Dwight about kind of details on it, and just pray with us, because Brother Duarte, there's some scheduling issues there, and we might not be able to do it this summer, might have to postpone it to December or something like that. But He just said, he just asked me to tell everyone to pray that we'll be able to do it this summer and that we won't have to postpone it or maybe have to do it somewhere else. We hope that we will be able to do it this summer, but that's kind of up in the air with kind of scheduling things right now. So just pray that when we do go to Brazil, whenever that is, Lord willing, this summer, but whenever we do, that God will just use that in a mighty way. We'll be able to see souls saved and decisions made for Christ because, you know, Brazil is a really rich country for, you know, the gospel. I've heard it's really, I have some friends. I know some of you may know Bruno. It's just Brazil's a really receptive place to the gospel. And there's a big need there. And just pray with me that we'll be able to go there and just through the avenue of soccer, be able to witness and just be a witness for Jesus Christ and be able to see people saved. So just pray with me with that over the summer and that we'll be able to do that. So thank you.
We do want to continue to make it a matter of prayer, and we'll have some special days designated throughout the spring as we raise money to help Asa with this trip. He'll have additional information that he'll be able to provide us in the month of January that'll give us a little more better understanding of the amount that he needs to raise. But we're also going to be raising money to help out to purchase soccer balls, jerseys, mesh jerseys, things of that nature that they can use for this ministry as they seek to reach out to the young people of Brazil. And so this is a tremendous opportunity for Asa, and we want to be there to encourage him. And we thank the Lord for his heart and for his desire to be used of the Lord. That's encouraging to me, and I know that you're encouraged as well.
Turn to 511 for our last song this morning. 511, Jesus Calls Us, number 511.
Jesus calls us for the tumult of our lives, the restless sea.
Because of
People said. Amen. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Philemon. We started a study last Sunday that we're going to be doing throughout the month of January and looking specifically at a grace-impacted life and what that means. This little letter was written by the Apostle Paul to accompany Onesimus, who was a runaway slave. He had come to faith in Jesus Christ because he ran right into the arms of the Savior in Rome. Thought he would be getting away from Colossae and his master Philemon, but ended up running into the Apostle Paul, who was there in Rome. And Paul had the privilege of leading this slave to Christ, and then, I think, desired to keep him. Matter of fact, he says that in the letter. I wanted him to stay with me, but I would know your heart first. And sent a letter. And so Philemon would receive from the hand of Onesimus this short, brief letter from the Apostle Paul. And the last verse is the theme of this particular book. It's interwoven all throughout each statement that the Apostle Paul makes to Philemon. And it is this: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for the specifics of how you use your word to touch on important themes that we as believers in Christ should understand and know. I pray, dear Father, that as we study this little letter, that our hearts would be challenged by the testimony of the Apostle Paul and the Spirit of God in which it was written to communicate to our hearts the attitude, the spirit that we are to have in the times in which we live. I pray, Father, that you'd work in a very powerful way, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I shared with you last time a statement by a pastor in northern Alabama who had shared 12 different misunderstood doctrines of the Bible that he had been challenged with as a pastor. And the fourth one on his list was a misunderstanding of grace. So I was very interested to see what his take would be on it, and I was pleasantly surprised and encouraged by what he had to say. And this is what he said: people often misunderstand grace as simply God's constant forgiveness or leniency towards our sin. Some even interpret it as a license to sin freely. But the Bible's idea of grace, charis in the original language, is much deeper. It's God's unmerited favor that not only forgives, but, now listen, changes us. His grace changes us. As Paul writes in the verse Titus 2, 11 through 12, his power, his grace, teaches us to say no to ungodliness. Grace is both God's forgiveness and His power to live holy lives. It's what our salvation is built on, Ephesians 2, 8 and verse 9. And what helps us to keep growing spiritually. Correctly understanding grace means seeing it as God's presence in Christ giving us the power to live the Christian life, not just as God looking kindly on us in tolerance and letting us off the hook. I thought that was very good. Another statement that he made in there says, I'm not allowed to define grace. Only God is allowed to define that. One of the things that he mentions in the article is the misunderstanding of what grace means, charis. And I think that we need to be reminded of that. I shared with you three different Bible scholars who said basically the same thing. I was reading from Robert Girdlestone in his Synonyms of the Old Testament, and this is what he says here. We have to be on our guard against the supposition that grace is an abstract quality. I think in many people's minds, it's kind of an abstract idea. He said, get that out of your thinking. It's an active personal principle showing itself in our dealings with those by whom we are surrounded. It is the great proportion of passages in which the word grace is found in the New Testament that it signifies the unmerited operation of God in the heart of man, effected through the agency of the Holy Spirit. We have gradually come to speak of grace as an inherent quality in man, just as we talk of gifts. Whereas in reality, grace is the communication of divine goodness by the inworking of the Holy Spirit and through the medium of Him who is full of grace and truth. In other words, Jesus Christ. Now that's important to keep in mind. We talk about a good quality in man, but that's not the heart of the word grace. It is that communication of God's divine goodness by the inworking of God's Holy Spirit and through the medium of Christ, who is full of grace and truth. I won't go back and read the other two men, but that is the point. It is that grace changes us through the work of the Holy Spirit and the mediation of Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives. Now today, I want to get into this understanding of the grace of God working and impacting our spirit. Pneumatos is the Greek word there, and it's the idea of that part which is like unto God. We are created in the image and likeness of God. Amen? Evolution says no to that. The vast majority of science today says that's absolutely not true. But the Bible makes it clear that we are created in the image and likeness of God. And one of the ways in which we are created like Him is in our spirit. Our spirit. Pneumatos. Now, what makes us special as human beings, as opposed to immaterial objects or material objects or animals? What makes human beings special? Well, humans are the only species to create a language, to build, and to move beyond the laws of nature and institute civilizations. Animals don't do that. Human beings do. Humanity can do all of these things because God created them to carry forth the image of Himself. God creates so people can also use God's creation and be creative. God institutes order so people can institute order. In other words, people establish governments. And that is the purpose of keeping order within society. What happens when that breaks down? You have chaos. You have destruction. You have what we see in many places around the world today where there is very little order and there is constant upheaval and turmoil. There are over 25 nations right now that still are not operating under any kind of form of organized government. Can you imagine that? They send a representative to the United Nations and yet they'd have no really organized government in place to keep peace and security. So part of being made in the image of God also means having a bit of His character. God is spirit, we are told. And we are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. How do we do that? He gave us a spirit. People have spirits. Job 32 and verse 8, but it is the spirit of man, the breath of the Almighty, that makes him understand. Now let that just sink in too. Our ability to communicate with God is through our spirit. our spirit. God's Holy Spirit, the Bible says, bears witness with our spirit that we are what? That we're the sons of God. That's the connection. God communicates with our spirit. So what is a spirit? Well, when considering what it is that makes a human made in the image of God, the idea that God gave man a spirit and defining that is very important. It's key to understanding what Paul is saying here in verse 25 of Philemon in this letter. Everyone has a mind that allows them to think and reason. The heart helps people to feel and connect. All right, the soul, that's the feeling and the connection. It is the spirit that works in our mind and our soul to connect with our God. The Greek word for soul is psuche. And that word could be translated personality. The soul is the unique character traits of a human being whereby we feel, we have personality, we know each other, we have that possibility with our soul. But the Greek word for spirit, pneuma or pneumatos, which is used here in Philemon, translates roughly to breathe. Are you breathing right now? All right. I hope you are. Some of you are breathing heavily because you've already slipped off into sleepy land. That's my fault, I know. But, have you ever sat in a chair and a few minutes later you wake yourself up because you took this deep breath? Your body went, fell asleep there. They scored another touchdown. Yeah, that's how long you've been asleep. Or your wife slips in on you while you're snoring in the living room and said you fall asleep and you're just in happy land, right? Yeah. Now your body knows to breathe while you are sleeping. How many of you are thankful for that this morning? Yeah. You're all here today. Hopefully you slept last night and your body just kept breathing during that time. Now some people need the aids of machines. I understand. Sleep apnea is where you stop breathing. And it can be for a significant period of time, and that can cause death if it's not taken care of. But God was good to us last night. We were able to breathe. Pneuma. Breath. Now think about this. When God made Adam, what did He do? The Bible says that God breathed in. Now remember, God is spirit. Are you following? God is spirit. God didn't take upon Himself a human being and go down there and breathe and do mouth to mouth. He filled that created being, Adam, He filled with His spirit and made him a living soul. And the spirit was imparted and the soul was imparted into that dirt pile that had been made into a human being. And it was done by a spirit. Now think about that in regard to what we're dealing with here. Paul, through the pen of inspiration, desired for Philemon to have a grace-impacted, say it please, spirit. Spirit. Now, of course, that affects our body and our soul, but it's supposed to affect our spirit, our very breath, that livingness that we have as a gift from God that makes us like Him. Do I hear an amen? This is so important, laying this foundation. Remember, in 2 Timothy, he closes that book with almost the same identical language here. May the grace of God impact your spirit. That means get down to the real you, that it's not surface, which is where a lot of people live. They're in the shallow zone, surface zone. They know the right words to say when they get into a particular group. They know the push-button words that you use, and that gets you into the group, right? But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the reality of your life in Jesus Christ, be impacted by the grace which He Himself brought to you. Let your spirit be impacted by that. And it has many, many effects in the believer's walk with Jesus Christ. And we're going to be getting into this in our study. I gave you the first one last week. The first of these was a grace-impacted spirit sees life-changing events in its rightful context. We saw that in verse 1. A grace-impacted... How many of you could be happy in the Santa Rosa County Annex Jail today? I'm not seeing a whole lot of hands here. If you got put in jail, could you be happy there? Would you be singing at midnight? Right? Paul and Silas had known what it was like in jail, but now Paul's by himself, and he's in prison. And we said last time that he said, I'm not a prisoner of Rome. I'm a prisoner of whom? Christ. He saw the whole thing differently. What had impacted and caused him to come up with that understanding rather than thinking, I'm here illegally. I'm a Roman citizen. Remember, he had appealed to Festus. He appealed to Felix. He appealed to King Agrippa. Finally saying, I appeal to Caesar. As a Roman citizen, he had the right to do that. Now, that was all part of God's plan because we read in the book of Acts that God was going to have Paul appear before kings, and this would be the way that he would do that. But it would go through a prison door. Understand something, Christian. One of the ways that your life is impacted by the grace of Jesus Christ is that it allows you to see life in its proper context. Things happen in life. I think about Brother Mike right now. My heart goes out to him. But he knows. He understands. He has a proper understanding of what God is doing in his heart and life. He understands that soon he'll be ushered into the presence of Jesus Christ. By the way, Christian, that's where we're all going. Yes, our hearts grieve when we think about a fellow brother that's suffering from cancer and that it's going to eventually take his life, but at the same time, because of the grace of Christ Jesus, my life can be impacted in my spirit where I take this and put it in the proper context. This is the way God's ushering me into His heavenly presence. Yes, I know Him down here. But I'm going to know Him in a completely different way the moment my spirit and my soul leave this body and I go into His presence. We have a time with death, do we not? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what did the psalmist say? I will fear no evil. He said that before the cross ever happened. How can a believer in Christ say something like that? Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, after He died and then was raised bodily from the tomb, took the stinger out of death. O grave, where is thy sting? Where is thy victory? It's not there anymore. And so, Christian, though we would prefer to go to heaven through the avenue of the rapture, we all face the same end, and we need to wise up about that. Amen? We all need to wise up about it. Some people clam up. Oh, death is so horrible. Death's going to bring a separation, and we get all anxious about that. But Christian, you don't have to. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. What is that? That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God impacting your spirit. So you're ready to go. Nobody's guaranteed. You know, we went for a long time without any plane crashes, and then we had two major ones that happened in the news. One of them happened in South Korea. Did you see that airplane? Didn't have its wheels down. It landed on its belly and slid on the ground and impacted with this wall. And only two or three people survived that were in the very back of the plane. Everybody else was completely consumed. And then you had the one that was shot down near the Russian territories. And hundreds of people died. Now, you don't know, Christian, when you're going to go. But do you know that grace can impact your spirit, that you're ready to go whenever God calls? And by the way, you don't have to pack a suitcase. Isn't that wonderful? Every time we travel, I think we're moving the whole house with us. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Oh, I might need this. It might get cold. Oh, I might need this. It might rain. Oh, I might get mud on my pants, so I better bring an extra pair. And the next thing you know, we're out there hauling all of these boxes and things out there, and we're going to be gone for 2 days. Yeah, we got to be prepared, right? Here's something, Christian. You can be prepared to meet Christ, and you don't have to pack a thing. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. You're going to leave back all the things that you thought were so important, and you're just going to slip right into His presence. And if your spirit has been impacted by grace, you can put all of life's changing events in its rightful context. What do I mean by that? Here's Paul. He's an apostle. Do bad things happen to apostles? Now, bad things can happen to apostles. Can bad things happen to me? Yeah. Where's this idea that Christians somehow have this shield and they walk around and nothing bad ever happens to them? Let me tell you something. There are horrible things that happen to Christians all the time. We have witnessed and seen so many times where missionaries were killed in the service, the Burnhams, in the Philippines. They went for their first vacation they had in 20 years as missionaries. First one. They get abducted. They get taken into captivity for a solid year. And he dies from bullet wounds. She survives past him. You think about the missionary couple that were down in South America, and they maybe Central America. This happened about 15, 16 years ago where they were flying in the plane and the mother gets hit with a bullet that was fired from the ground and kills her, and her little baby was inside of her. Why do these things happen? Oh God, why did you allow that to happen? Grace impacted spirit. To be able to take the events of life that happened, being thrown into jail, and your only crime was, is they made up a bunch of charges. Sedition, we're told in Acts. What's sedition? You're trying to take down the Roman government. Here's little Paul, and he's going to take down the Roman government. Was that really the case? No, it was a lie. Acts tells us that they brought many charges against him which they could not prove. We read that there in the narrative. And here's Paul, he's in prison. And he says this, I am a prisoner of Christ. That's a rebuke to me. That's a rebuke to me. And Christian, it ought to be to you too. Because we have a tendency to look at the events of life and it's like a roller coaster. I remember the first time I went on a roller coaster, it was at Georgia Six Flags. Wooden roller coaster. You talk about creaking and groaning and clacking. I got on that thing and I was white-knuckled from the time they put that bar down. And we went on that thing. I was praying, Lord, please keep the wheels on this track. You hear all these awful things? And we went all over that thing. When I got to the end, I was white as a sheet. I had never been so fast in all my life. My hair was sticking up, what little bit I had at the time. My flat top. I didn't have to have the gel that day. My hair was just straight up. I had done it the first time. And I said, I'm not doing this again. I'm not going on this thing. There was just too many. I think the wheels came off the track up there. You know how you do that? Folks, we've got to understand something. As a believer, it's my privilege to have God's grace impact me in such a way that I can think correctly about the events of my life and why they happen and when they happen, the timing of that, what's taking place. He was able to do that because his life was impacted by what? Say it, please. Grace. Whose grace? Not our grace. God's grace. His grace is sufficient for us. So, that's the first one. I want to get into the second one today. And that is a grace-impacted life. Notice this in our reading here in Philemon. Verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What is he saying there? Two important words for the Christian. Charis, grace, and erene. That's the word we translate in English, peace. He desired that from God to Philemon. A grace-impacted spirit wants others to have good spiritual well-being. Do I hear an amen? No, I know. I'm only going to pray for my kids. But I'm not going to pray for them. They said something about me. Bertha told me last week that they said something about me. I'm not going to have anything to do with them. I'm not praying for them. And you wish all kinds of bad things to happen to them. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with it? Well, it's the same problem that we all have. We look at other people through the lens of our pride. The lens of our pride. They dared to say something about me. Really? That's how important you are? That you have to charge everybody? There's something here that leads the way. This grace theme leads the way to bring Philemon along to a clearer understanding of what his response should be to his slave coming home. And this is the privilege that we have to break this apart. What did he desire for Philemon? He desired, number one, grace, but number two, peace. Now, peace like grace is a quality of God. God is the God of peace. We learn that in the book of Isaiah, do we not? It was the announcement of His word, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All right? Irene in the Greek language is primarily denoting a state of tranquility, harmony, and well-being. A state of. Not being shaken by all the events of life, but rather having the stability of God's peace at work in my heart and life. That's my prayer for Mike. That's my prayer for all those that I pray for. I'm just praying that God would just flood his life and his soul and his family with God's peace. To know that this is the direction that God's allowed him to go in. Maybe God will deliver Luke from his cancer, or maybe God will take him on to heaven. Either way, he's delivered from his cancer. Are you following? He's delivered. The peace of God. It is used to describe both the absence of conflict and the presence of positive blessings, such as safety, grace, and spiritual peace. The term is often associated with the peace that comes from a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, as well as the peace that believers are called to maintain with one another. And this is what Paul desired for Philemon, the recipient of this letter. I want God to flood you with His grace, and I want God to flood you with His peace. Now, why would Philemon need peace? You know, it's important as a student of God's Word that you ask questions. You need to be a prosecutor when you're reading your Bible. And you need to think up questions. I would say in this new year, add to your Bible study, if you're not already doing it, if you're journaling, would you ask some questions and then see the answers that are given? Why in this world would Philemon need grace and peace? Now you can give the really off the top, well, we all need grace and peace. Okay, why? Why? Think about this whole situation with Onesimus. It was his servant. His servant had run away. How does that reflect upon Philemon? Have you ever had an employee quit because they don't like you? And how you think, I'm the most likable person in the world. How come they don't like me? You know, that's the attitude that we sometimes have. But some people allow personality conflicts in their life and so forth, and sometimes they're legitimate and sometimes they're not. What do you need? God's grace and God's peace. Philemon would be wrestling with something. Now his servant is a believer in Christ. Now we're talking about he ran away. Do I make him pay for time lost? Or do I give him his freedom and let him become a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? We're not told what happened with Onesimus, are we? We're not told what Philemon's final decision is, but we can kind of gather through this that Paul's making it very clear. If he owes you anything, that's like getting Chris Whitney's credit card. Okay? If he owes you anything, Chris is going to pay. All right? How often does that happen, Russell? He's shaking his head. No, that doesn't happen. Yeah. Have you ever surprised somebody and paid for their meal whenever you saw a family sitting over there eating? I've done that a few times. Where I saw a preacher one time with his wife. They were over there, pastor over in Pensacola, and they were eating. And I just went over to the waitress and I said, I'm taking care of their meal. Bring me their ticket and whatever. And I got this little note in the mail a couple of weeks later. Said, "Were you there at? They live in Pace, and they preachers in Pensacola." And I said, "Yes, we were there." I didn't say any more. And he said, "Thank you." Well, he figured it out. You know, those kind of things are blessings that we give and receive in life. But you know what, Christian? Something that you need desperately beyond the grace of God is what? Peace. To come to the right conclusions about our actions. Are you following me here? To have the peace of God, to know I'm doing the right thing by receiving this servant. I'm doing the right thing by changing my attitude toward this servant because now he's a believer in Jesus Christ. Things had changed. And Philemon was going to have to deal with that change that was coming about from his slave, and now he's going to have to come up with the right. What do you need at that moment? You need the peace of God. The peace of God that passes all understanding. So a grace-impacted spirit desires what for other fellow believers? We desire their spiritual well-being, impacted by grace and by peace. Very important. We're going to stop there today. I've got 7 of these, and I'm going to share with you from this passage of Scripture, and I hope and pray that we'll take to heart in this month as we study this little letter here, that we can take away some important truths about having our heart impacted by God's grace. God's grace and what it means in my heart and life. Father in heaven, I thank you for your precious word. I thank you for the spirit in which this letter was written to Philemon. Paul was up in years now. He knows that his time is very short on this earth as he writes this letter, and he wants Philemon to come up on the right side of this. And so he counsels him from God's Word what a grace-impacted spirit looks like. The ability to be able to look at life circumstances and in the proper context. The ability to desire the spiritual well-being of another believer. These are important, dear Father. It gets our focus off of ourselves and gets them upon Thee. That's what grace does. It impacts us in such a way when we stop thinking about ourselves and we start thinking about others and we keep our minds and hearts focused on Christ. Lord, do a work today in our hearts and lives that we would respond rightly to Your Word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now let's close to number 453. If we turn there in your hymn books, teach me thy way, O Lord. That first verse asks and says, thy guiding grace afford. As we learn more about the grace of the Lord, guiding our lives to learn more of that. Let's stand together, number 453, and close with verse number 1. Teach me thy way. And we do thank you for your great grace and for, Lord, the encouragement of Paul to Philemon to understand more of your grace and how it's pictured in the treatment of Onesimus, Father. And just we see also your grace in our lives and the Savior's view of us, Father. We thank you so much for your great grace in our hearts. I pray that it would, as we go into this week, influence our lives and our spirit, Lord, to understand the circumstances and what you have each and every day for us. I just thank you for our church now and each one here. Bless this week, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.